Oh, Katya's up late. Oh my goodness. So grateful for part three of our Forgive and Be Free. Jane's up late too. Our night owls are with us in Europe. So grateful. I'm going to invite you to place your hand on your heart as we begin here, Forgive and Be Free, part three. So grateful. So grateful that forgiveness is our liberation tool. So grateful to partner up with that higher Holy Spirit self in order to relinquish any idea of attachment to suffering, to a false view, to resentments, to regrets, to blame, to shame, to taking offense. We're giving it all to the Holy Spirit. We're allowing ourselves to choose freedom and liberation. We are grateful and thankful that our life is a life of love, that we are inner directed to extend love. And we are grateful and thankful that forgiveness is a profound and healing tool that comes naturally to us. We have the willingness to employ it. And so we're calling forth miracles. We are entitled to experience miracles in our mind and transformation in our life. We are grateful to open ourselves to the unlimited. In gratitude, we share the benefits of our healing and our expansion with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful to naturally extend and share the all good of God in our lives, in our hearts. We let the healing be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. All right. So I'd like to first ask, who has felt a shift just in the last few days from doing some self-forgiveness work? Who's felt a shift? Jane and Mary. Oh, quite a few of you, almost all of you. Fantastic. Very, very good. And for those of you who are more new to doing this work, I wonder if there's anybody who'd like to give a little share. To inspire us, start us off with some inspiration of how. All right, Patrick. See, can you? There you go.
So it's been a delightful Sunday. I'm completely unstuck. I have so many videos that I want to make. It's like I just can't decide which one to make first. So creativity has started flowing forth in my life, but I've moved to a new community about 6 weeks ago, and so I don't have my friend base that I'm used to. And the first couple of weekends that I was here, I turned to alcohol, which was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, you're gonna drink? And I haven't had more than two drinks in a night forever, and even four in a month or two in a month. And I had five one night. I was like, wow, you're really gonna go for it. And so that's how I filled up my loneliness for a couple of nights. And then each weekend's gotten better. And this weekend has been just packed from the start until now. And it's packed from now until then. And when I say packed, I mean that what's opened up in these 3 days doing this forgiveness course is that I can live my life in communion and in communication with the force that guides us. And that inside of that relationship, I'm completely filled up. And so I feel as connected and loved and loving as I ever have with people around or not. And so things around me are naturally just dominoes that seem like they would never fall. They're just like the whole thing is like running through a whole building of dominoes falling down. It's like, wow, that was easy. And it's like, well, what did I do? I just aligned with releasing my resistance and just allowing what's there to be lived and just take my place. So I'm very thankful for this community and for this class and for the remembrance that I can be lived in communion with something a lot more meaningful than what my mind can come up with.
Beautifully said, Patrick. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'll share I'll piggyback on that and say it in a slightly different way. What I'm hearing you say is that through the self-forgiveness, you're releasing the blocks to love. And when the blocks to love go, then the love can flow. And so you're experiencing that sense of exuberance, creativity, happiness, freedom, all these different spiritual qualities, because you're not blocking them with your unforgiveness, your judgments, your opinions. And that's how we're made. We're made to be in this flow of love. And we pile up our blocks against it, and then we start to feel cut off and starved and shut down. But we can open up the flow so fast.
I think that's a wonderful way of saying it too.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That was magnificent. Absolutely. What a perfect example of what we're doing here. Let's see. Bob, is that your yeah. Oh, hang on. Let's get you unmuted. Can you unmute yourself there? I can ask you to unmute, but I can't do it for you.
I'm sorry, am I muted?
Yes, hey. You got it.
All right. So I don't know the words, but I, you know, with Patrick's talking, you know, I can relate to that very much, because I started drinking again, believe it or not. And I have history, you know, I have a history from years ago. I just started going, you know, backwards. It seems. I know it seems, and it's not true. I mean, there's never a retrograde step. We're always going forward. And I've been so unhappy, so sad, you know, and I know that it's because I'm drinking, and I've been confined to my house for the past year. And I'm like going nuts, you know, that's why this is great. I love this, you know, and, you know, because I went through some major stuff this year, you know, and now I'm recuperated enough, but bingo, 2 days ago, I bought a six pack and, yeah, so I've done it so many times over the years. I've quit. When I got out of the service, I was bad for years, and then I just stopped. I came into Christian Science, and that saved me. That saved me. And I had four kids, bing, 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 one after another, and I stopped everything I quit smoking, I quit everything for 25 years. You know, and I felt good because I was studying every day. Not that I'm not studying every day now, but definitely I'm studying every day, because since the Course in Miracles came into my life, like, I'm just blown away, because Christian Science was the mechanics of it, but this is showing you how to do it, and it's beautiful. I just love it. And I want to stay with it. So that's about it, you know. I'll be okay. I always am. I'm like a cat. I end up, my kids, they say, Dad, forget about 9 lives. You had 100 lives. I really have. I've been through all. I could write a movie. It would be better than a Bruce Willis movie. So I'm grateful that I'm still here. I'm still alive. And, yeah. It's all good. I love that. I love that. It's all good no matter what. No matter what is happening to me or anyone around me or the world, it's always for the betterment of us. It's always bringing us further up. Like I said before, there's never a retrograde step. We're never going backwards. It makes you feel like we're like stepping in time sometimes, but we're going forward no matter what. And and that's the only thing that has saved me a lot during these past couple of years, because I know that's true. And, you know, that I pray to see that, and then I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much, Bob. Yeah, it's beautiful that we can share, be transparent here in this community, because we're practicing non-judgment and self-forgiveness, and each one's share helps the other, because we are all part of the one life. And one of the things that is certainly true is everything works together for good. There are no exceptions except in the opinion of the ego. So we're in the business of stop making exceptions so we can see the good, know the good, feel the good, recognize the good. And I do say, I started saying it a long time ago, it's all good, but it's not all fun.
Oh,
geez. It's all good, but it's not all fun.
And wow. So
we can give up the need for everything to be fun, recognizing that it's still for our good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
I gotta write that down. Say that again.
It's all good. It's not always all fun.
But it's always for our own good, but it's not always fun.
It's all good. Everything works together for good, but it's not all fun.
That's awesome.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'm waiting for those fun days.
Well,
this is fun.
Exactly. We're calling it forth. We're allowing ourselves to enjoy our healing, our transformation, our awakening. We're allowing ourselves to enjoy coming together, being in community. And it's interesting. I know when I was younger, I would get accused of being too serious, taking things too seriously. And one of the things that our personalities rail against, we reject, is the idea of taking responsibility for what we see, what we experience, what we feel. And yet that is the way that we can transform our mind, is by taking responsibility, what we see, what we feel, what we experience. But we do back away from that, and we have to learn that responsibility is the way out of our difficulties. It's the way out of our suffering. And the whole thing about masterful living and my perspective that I offer is the moving out of the blame and into the responsibility. 100% responsibility, 0% blame. And when we can take responsibility, then we can really see that, we are powerful beings, and that we can choose to see things correctly, and our suffering ends, our suffering falls away, that our suffering is really a byproduct of our choosing to see things incorrectly. To blame others or to blame ourselves. And so being able to see that there is a divine grace in everything, that even if, in the Bible it says, even if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. And I've made my bed in hell. And in those times, I would reject that spirit was there with me. I wanted to feel alone. I wanted to feel like an outcast. I wanted to feel like I was bad and wrong and unlovable. But I couldn't stay there. Spirit wouldn't let me stay there. And so if we're willing, we'll rise up out of that. I think one of the most powerful things that Jesus says to us in A Course in Miracles is that we can believe that we're alone, we can think that we're alone, but we can't ever actually be alone. That is not possible. And he says, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. And it takes a real willingness to know that that's true, to see that that's true, to feel that that's true, because of the unworthiness. And that's why I designed this this time of the year. Now we're gonna, in starting the week after, we're gonna have the classes on undoing unworthiness. So those are a bonus for everybody currently in Masterful Living and everybody who's already signed up for Masterful Living. So doing those classes, undoing unworthiness, there'll be more forgiveness work in that. And looking at the patterns that we have that keep us playing small, living in a stuck state. And then we'll actually go from there into a vision for our new year and into eliminating the self-sabotage and the ways that we're playing small. It's going to be, the next few months are going to be just absolutely profoundly transformative. And I think we're going to have more success this year than ever before because of the virus, because I find that so many people like you, Bob, like all of us, we've been spending a lot of time at home, and we have more time to put into our spiritual practice because there are less distractions in the world. And that's really important because we are in a profound transformation. I was just saying in the Sundays with Spirit that we are birthing that new heaven and the new earth. And so we are being supported by what's happening in the world to keep us focused on doing this transformational work, because our job is to change our mind about the world. And so that's what we're doing. Anybody else like to share here? Some aha, some insights from doing the self-forgiveness work. Anybody? Oh, Joanne.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. I've done a lot of forgiveness work over the last 2 years, but over the last week, I've just had such a strong realization that it's all about self-forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's not about anybody else at all or any experience or, yeah, it's been really great to really get that this is all about me, and it's all about me forgiving me. Yeah, it's great. Which helps me just automatically not see anyone else to blame. There's no blame anywhere else. Everyone's just a character in my story and there to help me learn. And it's my response, my beliefs that have created the sadness and the feeling separate and feeling rejected or whatever it is. And I'm the one who gets to say, and you're okay. I forgive everything you've thought. So it's been good. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. That's it. it really does take practice and great willingness to get to the place of realizing I've given everything in the world all the meaning that it has for me. Isn't it amazing, in a sense, that it does take most of us quite a bit of willingness to get just the beginning lessons of A Course in Miracles. But once we do, everything pops through. For me, the lesson 68, Love Holds No Grievances, where Jesus says, it is as certain that those who do not forgive will not remember who they are, as it is certain that those who do forgive will remember who they are. And when I read that lesson, I made up my mind, from this moment forward, I'm not going to hold any grievances, because love is what I am, so I cannot hold grievances. It is not my nature to hold grievances. It is not my nature to be grudgeful, and I therefore don't have to work at it. I can just let it go. Now, I did have to work at it, and I still have, you know, every day there are little things that come up that bother me. Sometimes it feels a little bigger than a little thing. And I realize, oh, there's the grudge, there's the grievance, there's the willingness to be offended. And then I feel the energy of the dysfunction. I feel the energy of the unhappiness. I feel the energy of victimhood. I feel the energy of my fear and distress. And then I say, yeah, that's the result of holding a grievance. I can let that go. I'd rather be happy. I'd rather feel free. And so that's why it's forgive and be free. We don't feel free until we do the forgiveness work. We cannot do it with words only. So that's why I start with, really, this is what forgiveness is and this is what it's not. Because every single one of us has done that thing of saying, I forgive, but we don't actually mean it. We're saying, where we're doing that, we're saying, I'm ready to stop suffering over this. I'm ready to stop being annoyed about this. I'm ready to stop being frustrated about this. I'm ready to be at peace again. But I'm not ready to give up my judgments and my opinions and the meaning I made of it and my interpretations. No, those are the things I want to keep. I just want to give up feeling bad about it. We've all done that many times, because this, in a sense, is what the world teaches. The world teaches, just say, I forgive them. You know, those son of a bitches, I forgive them. You know, I hate them, but I forgive them. They were so bad and so wrong, but I forgive them. That's the ego's version of forgiveness. It doesn't work. It actually makes us feel more and more distressed. You raising your hand there, Paula? Can you? Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because today there's just a little different feeling I have in my mind. But I want that big aha. I don't have it. And I want the quick fix. And that's the same thing when I listened to your podcast about judging. I thought, I don't judge. And then we had 4th of July, and I swear to God, I judged every person there. So here I am working on forgiveness, and my husband was working on lights, and he put these ugly lights up. And, I wanted to just grab him and say, look. But I didn't say anything, but I didn't have that spiritual experience, you know what I'm saying? So practice, practice, practice. That's all I'm saying. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, hang on a second there, Paula, because this is the perfect example. So your husband put up the, is it Christmas lights?
Oh, no. There were lights up in our room. We're having Thanksgiving and, oh.
Okay.
He put ugly lights up. Oh, they're terrible. But,
So, okay. Do you mind working on this for just a minute with us?
Yes.
Okay. So, does he think they're ugly? Was he like, oh, let me see if I can find some really ugly lights?
Oh, no. He just thought that we needed more light up there.
Uh-huh.
And he repairs things for a living, so his idea and of design is not, he doesn't have it.
Yeah, so, but he's looking out for things. He's thinking about, he's providing for the family, the gathering, right? He's thinking about what will be helpful for people, what will support everybody having a good time, being able to see the beautiful food, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. What else could you say about his intention?
His intention is always to, he's so good at fixing things. And his intention was just to make things better for us all. But, you know, when you turn the lights on, it's so bright. God love them. I do love them. I want you to know that.
That's good. That's good. So, you're clear his intention was helpful, loving, kind.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It's very helpful.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just ugly.
So if you could have gotten out in front of his choice, what would you have done? What would you have said or done to influence it?
I try to be kind, but he actually... I would have just left it alone because for me, I like the effect of it being, there's enough light up there, but you know what I mean? I would have just not done anything, but for some, I guess he's feeling the pressure of being home and not having anything to do. And so let's just go put lights up. That's his thing. So.
Do you have to turn the lights on during Thanksgiving, those particular lights?
No, we don't. He even said that after I said, those are ugly. I did say that. I said, those lights are ugly. I did say that.
Okay. So here's the thing. Let's just look at this for a second. Is ugly a judgmental word?
Oh, yes. Terribly. I know that.
Yeah. No, I'm not finding fault with you. I'm just...
I know.
Journey of discovery. Beauty is a spiritual quality. And... one person's ugly is not another person's. We find that out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. We have different ideas of what's attractive, what's appealing, what's likable, what's unlikable. So you got irritated. You got upset. Even though you know what his intention is kind and loving.
Uh-huh.
Even though that you don't... have to turn the lights on if you don't want to, but there's something that really bothered you. What is it that do you have an awareness of what the thought is that is actually bothering you?
I come from such poverty that I feel that today I deserve to have nice things and have things that look appropriate. So, because I'm not in poverty anymore, and that's what I think. I feel that I deserve. I know that's. I'm just telling you how I really feel.
Yeah.
I deserve things to be nice, because we're not poor anymore.
Right. That's so your feeling was it's ugly, it's not nice.
Right.
Right. So there's a deep trigger there.
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with the
lack.
Yeah, the poverty you experienced in your earlier life.
Yep.
So if you look at it, if you go through the forgiveness letter, the self-forgiveness mm-hmm. letter, and we just look at some of the things, like, oftentimes, you felt angry, right?
Yes.
You felt angry.
You know, powerless.
Okay. Yeah. So when we feel angry, anger is actually incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I teach in Masterful Living is that we're designed, our spiritual design, our divine design is to be peaceful. To mm-hmm. think the thoughts we think with God, to be loving and mm-hmm. to be patient, to be kind, to be generous, to be compassionate. And when we're not, we feel upset.
Yes.
So when we feel upset, it's like a divine alarm clock going off, letting us know that something that we're thinking isn't loving. It's not actually even true. It's just our made up thoughts about things.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is coming up for healing. We can have a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can do this self-forgiveness work just like this. So you got angry. Now, anger is a sign that something is coming up for healing. It's that divine alarm clock going off. It's very helpful because Jesus actually tells us in the Course, in the fear and conflict section, he says that when we're upset, it's because we're choosing a thought like fear. And he says, don't ask me to take away the feelings of fear. Ask me for help with the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can look at that a little more deeply, and it'll help everybody. So you felt angry, so that's helpful. The divine alarm clock is going off, letting you know there's a major trigger happening. Underneath that anger is always, always, always fear.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's related to the lack and the poverty that you had in your early life. But what is the actual fear? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't. I don't know. I really don't know.
Would it have anything to do with people think of you?
I suppose that has a lot. I think that I'm afraid that the whole house is going to end up looking like this. And people are going to come in and they already make fun of him because he does really funny things like this. So, yeah, it is. It's about what people think of me in the house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And do you think it has to do with what people might think of your husband?
No, because they know him.
Okay.
We all know him.
Right. So it'd be just what they think of you as a housekeeper, as a homeowner, as a...
That is really I'm stumped on that, actually. I don't know what I'm afraid of, because mostly my kids are the only ones that come over, and they always say things like, you know, you got the money. This should look better than this. You know, and I think, you know, they're right. We do have the money, but we just choose to spend it on other things. So I don't know what I'm afraid of. They will never have the money. I'm not afraid of that right now. I used to be afraid that we were going to have our lights turned off, but I'm not like that anymore.
Well, it does sound like your children are judging you.
Yeah, they do.
So, most people are afraid of being judged by their loved ones if their loved ones are judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a trigger.
Yeah.
And so we have the anger and then the fear. And underneath that is usually some kind of hurt that's unresolved. And the reason why we're afraid and get so angry is because we're afraid we're going to get hurt again in a way that is like how we were hurt in the past, and we still haven't healed from it.
Well, I just got through writing a forgiveness letter to my first husband before this class. And we lived in poverty, and we did not allow anyone in our home. And he was an alcoholic, and it was a mess, just a mess. And I'm not afraid of my husband that I'm married to today, but maybe I'm afraid that we're gonna, our house is gonna end up looking like when we lived, where I lived before.
Yeah, and even though that
it was very shameful.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. And even though that might be an irrational fear now,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ego mind is not rational.
No.
So irrational fears are rational to our ego-identified personality. So what if unhealed things from earlier in your life are being healed right now by this simple trigger, by this man you love doing something that he's trying to be helpful, and you can forgive yourself for being angry with, do you feel like you're angry with him?
No, I'm just angry at the situation.
Having to deal with it, yeah.
Yeah. See, my first, we were not allowed to bring anybody in the house, you know, in my first marriage. Now this house, it's really nice and it's comfy. So I think I still have that feeling that I'm afraid that's going to get, you know, that feeling is still here after all these years.
Yeah. So one of the things you can forgive yourself for is for, holding on to these ideas from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look and see if you have any resentment or anger towards your first husband, you said you just wrote a letter about it.
I wrote that letter, yes. Yep.
It's fresh in your mind and it's dissolving as we speak.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah, but that's how those triggers work. It's coming up for healing so that you can look at it and let it go.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah. Thank you, Paula. Who can relate to what we're talking about here with Paula? Yeah, quite a few people. So would anybody like to share anything? Might be insightful about your own experience of it? Anybody? Kathy. There you go.
Oh, that was just made me laugh. And then it made me cry because I was thinking about my husband because he would drive me mad. He didn't care what people thought. And being brought up in England, that's all we thought about was what are the neighbours going to say? What will the neighbours think? And our house was a total nightmare when I was growing up. We never brought anyone home. We were so ashamed of how the house looked. And so when we came out, we put a smile on our face like everything was fine, but that's how things were. And then my husband, who was a fabulous person, didn't care what people thought. He liked himself. He loved himself. I didn't. So I had to kind of punish him about that constantly. Mm-hmm. And every time he did anything, I criticize him. I constantly criticized him. And I just had to laugh, you know, at that conversation because I could hear myself and my fear of what people think. And basically, who gives a damn what other people think? It's not going to help me to feel better about myself worrying. But that's only because I'm learning so much, you know, from your pod things and, you know, reading. But I have to laugh to think of how I behave towards my husband because he would do stuff like that all the time. And always he was trying to be helpful. And I was always worried, well, geez, you know, what are people going to think? It seems so foolish now, but at the time, it bothered me.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty normal when one person really accepts themselves and the other person doesn't. The one who doesn't accept themselves will feel irritated by the other person's self-love and self-acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels really normal to me, Kathy. Yeah. So you may wish to write a forgiveness letter to yourself about that.
Yeah, I started writing one last night. It was supposed to be about my regrets that I had, you know, about how I treated my husband. But then it got me thinking about all kinds of other things. And really, I'm thinking I should start off writing a letter forgiving myself for how I hated my parents. Not them themselves, but how they raised us in such a nightmare house. And so I think I might have to start there. I got a lot of forgiving to do.
Well, you know what? The good thing is it's all interwoven. And as we forgive ourselves for some things, a whole bunch of things will fall away. So we don't, it's not like you've got 1,000 things in a box and you've got to do one by one. If you've got one thing that's connected to 100 things, you can get them all done with one letter. You really can.
Oh, man, that would be brilliant. Okay.
It is brilliant. Yeah, that is how spirit works. It really is. Yeah, Amanda's happy. It's true. It's really true. And we've got a bunch of people here who've been in Masterful Living. Would you say that's been your experience, too? That one, yeah, it's like pulling a thread on a sweater. You can make a lot of progress with just one letter. And it's so powerful to have the strong intention. And one thing that does help us to forgive, it's like Paula has this awareness that her husband is purely intending to be loving, to be helpful. And so part of why we get so mad and angry is because they have a loving intention. So, and we're feeling so angry, so triggered, so ballistic over somebody who's doing something sweet and kind. But just, it triggers us. So that's why self-forgiveness is the way, you know. Yeah. And we can learn to say to our loved ones when we're triggered in these situations, it's not you. I'm feeling triggered. It's not your fault. Please know that I know it's not your fault. And I'm sorry if I feel like you feel like I'm taking it out on you. I'm just upset. It's not you. And learning to do that, we have less self-forgiveness to do.
Which, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Kathy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I'd like to share about is here, I know we've got Australians, we've got people in the UK, in Katia's in Luxembourg, we've got people all over the place, but here in the United States, we've got folks in getting ready for Thanksgiving holiday. It's usually the biggest family holiday of the year, and the day before is the biggest travel day of the entire year. And that's next week. So, and then we have Christmas coming. So for those who might not be in Masterful Living, might not get to connect with you, I would like to say that it is so important to our loving ourselves, to our self-esteem, our self-confidence, our self-love, that we develop a willingness to take responsibility for what we've projected onto other people and to learn to be the spiritual leader in our family and in our workplace. Little changes make a lot of difference. I see it over and over and over again. One of the things that I decided to do in my family for the healing of my family was I decided that whenever we used to have constant bickering and arguments, people taking offense and being sarcastic and all of that, it was just constant. with my parents, with my brother, and it was just pick, 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 and all of that. There was a lot of it. And we knew we all loved each other, but there was just way too much tolerance of snarky comments. I know now when I watch television and people who love each other, parents and children and spouses, and they're picking on each other and they're sarcastic and jabbing at each other, I turn the television off. I don't even want to watch. It's like, oof, please, please. It's not entertaining to see all of that. Let's have a little more modeling of kindness and compassion and understanding. And I know it's not dramatic. It's not dramatic. It's not dramatic if somebody does something that someone doesn't like and they just go, oh, well, he meant well, you know. It's not, there's no drama in that. So people are like, ah, because there's the drama. So I learned in my family, because I was a great grievance holder, a grudge holder, that I discovered through my practice of self-forgiveness that when there was offense taken, whether it was me or somebody else, somebody in my family got hurt by something I said or did, or something I didn't say or didn't do, or vice versa, I learned that I could take a different approach. So my old approach would be to be withholding of love, to be cold, to be distant, and to punish people with my withholding, with my coldness, with my distance. That was my weapon of punishment. And so what I learned through my practice of self-forgiveness is I feel so much better when I'm in the flow of love, like we were talking about with Patrick earlier. I feel so much better. And that if I'm feeling that my feelings have been hurt, it's because of the way I'm looking at it. I can change my perspective if I partner up, if I go to the Holy Spirit, to my higher self, and ask for help. Help me see this correctly. Help me to know what's actually happening here. And if there's hurt and offense, and now withholding and distance, I can go first in saying, I'm sorry, in saying, how are you? I wish I hadn't said that. Whatever needs to be done to bring the flow of love back, I can go first. I can take responsibility. And when there's an upset, that's the perfect time for me to practice. And in doing so, we can actually become like superheroes. So, you know, Superman can leap tall buildings in a single, you know, bound. And now, of course, we have so many different superheroes with all different kinds of superpowers. Well, the superpower that we have is extending love, extending compassion, and being able to forgive. And it feels so good when we can use our superpowers. So I used to think that if I did that, I was a sucker. I was a loser. I was a fool, letting people walk all over me. But I learned through spiritual practice of these principles and doing it, I learned, oh, no, no, I feel powerful when I'm in my loving heart. I feel powerful when I can move out of being offended and hurt and resentful and ashamed and into extending compassion, extending kindness, being generous of heart. Now I've got my power back, because love is the only power that there is. And when we block the flow of love, of course we're going to feel powerless, because the only power there is what we're blocking. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated and it's not hidden. But we all have triggers, just like Paula kindly shared with us her experience of getting triggered. She got triggered by her husband, but it had nothing to do with her husband. It had to do with her past, her childhood. Unresolved, coming up for healing. And we have the wisdom and the intelligence to begin to recognize this and to seize the moment, to seize the opportunity. And so my invitation to you is to make a commitment that from now on, you're going to do the best that you can to go first. To go first to be loving, to go first to forgive, to go first to extend compassion, to go first to say a kind word, to go first in being patient, to go first in giving up withholding or being offended and partnering up with spirit. You're going to go first because then you can use your superpowers and you will feel better so much faster. And then you become that example in your family. You are being truly helpful. You are representing the one who sent you. And then you're being miracle-minded. You will experience miracles. You will. Because they're happening in your mind. We think of miracles being in the world. But A Course in Miracles tells us that the miracles are in our mind. When we choose loving thoughts and we turn away from the ego thought system, that's the miracle. And then we see things show up in the world of form differently. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions about this? About being the one who goes first? Yeah. Melita. And then Mary. You know what, you sound very soft. I wonder if you can...
Is that better?
Oh, yes, better.
Okay. I'm not so sure so much of this is about going first, but it is about seeing things differently.
Uh-huh.
I wrote a letter, and it was about my son and something that annoyed me. And I realized that it was really just a trigger. And... it was all about me. It wasn't about having him do anything differently. And so I recognized the trigger yesterday, today, soon. And I went, wow, this is me feeling this. It's nothing to do with him. And so I just took a deep breath and I told myself that, you know, I love you and it's okay to have these feelings. And it was like, I could see colors. It was like instantly everything changed. And what he was doing, he stopped and he was redirected. And I could feel like everything was different in that one moment. Does that make sense? You know, everything just shifted. And so it was like that was the moment that just by changing it just a little bit and taking responsibility for how I was feeling, not what he was doing, I was able to feel like really love. And then I could have more love for him and for everything in the room. It was like, whoa, that was cool. So that was my experience.
Yes, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, so beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yay, thank you for sharing that, Melita.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful example. Yeah, it's an inside job. Our willingness is all that's required, right? Really, spirit will do everything else if we just say we're willing. And just before Mary shares, I'd like to say, I remember one time, a long time ago, I had a job in an office, and I was having a conversation with somebody in the office, and I was feeling very annoyed by them. And I felt like they were actually trying to be annoying. Have you ever... try to be annoying to people? Yeah. Or you know people who are trying to be annoying to you. I've done both, of course. I had both experiences. So while she was talking, I was talking to God, and I was saying, God, you know how to love her. You do. Right now, I don't know, but you know, and I'm standing here, right here, and I'm saying, use me, I'm available, let the love pour through me and towards her, and I'm available, but I just, right now, I'm not getting it. So here I go. I'll be the empty vessel. I'm handing it over to you. Please show me how to love her the way you love her. I'm willing. And so our willingness is powerful. It really, it moves heaven and earth. Mary, do you want to unmute yourself there?
If I can remember what I was going to say. okay. I don't remember. I just wanted to, one thing I wanted to share was that doing this forgiveness letter, I did one to unblock my artistic, I feel it's been blocked. And I've gone so many breakthroughs. I feel like I've changed so much in this past year. It's been such a load off of me from just these little thoughts of doing what you've been saying and just being mindful of it all the time as much as possible. I feel so good about myself that I am actually doing this and there's such results. And I feel like I do have mind and heart congruency, which I wanted. So what was I was going to say? Something else. Oh, about the forgiveness letter. So I started feeling that maybe there was going to be some, opening up a bit. And I did feel opening, not as much as who was that? Not Bob. What was his name? The other fellow, Patrick. Yeah, I'd like some of that. So I'm still working on it, but I did feel much better after that forgiveness letter. And I do feel that it helps in a lot of other areas. Things that weren't related to it seemingly are much clearer and nicer now. So it was, it's a good experience and it's a great way to end the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm very happy about that. Thank
you. Very good. Very good. Beautiful. Well, go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, I just want to share because I've been doing this for 2 years now. And initially, my forgiveness letters were still more about blaming somebody else. And then they moved into more self-forgiveness, but I still had attachment to wanting a result from it. And when I finally just started writing forgiveness letters to forgive myself with no attachment to an outcome, I started to really see results. So that was just something that I realized.
Oh, yeah, that's so helpful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Yep. Yes, we definitely, if we're attached to the results, then that's going to get in the way. And here's why it's going to get in the way. Because we don't trust that the highest and best is unfolding. We don't trust that spirit is revealing whatever's to be revealed in the perfect way. We're trying to manipulate. We're trying to control. So when we don't trust and we're trying to manipulate and control, it doesn't go so well. It gets in the way. Yeah. Our lack of trust gets in the way. It always does. So then we learn that. Yeah. So if we can just have no attachments to the outcome. So if we're writing a forgiveness letter to make someone pay attention to us, or if we're trying to write a forgiveness letter to make somebody be different, we are trying to manipulate the universe. It's just not going to work. But if we're seeking to change our mind about that person and remove from their field and our field our thoughts of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, that's different. So that's what we're doing with our forgiveness letters, is we're healing our mind about the situation so the situation can show up in a way that's healed. Rebecca wrote me something here in the chat I'm going to mention. She says, how to recognize, not, how to reconcile going first and apologizing and being the fulcrum point when forced to apologize as a kid. Anybody forced to apologize when you were a child? Yeah, I think a lot of us were. She says the apology was to be genuine and believable, no lying allowed. It was never genuine. It was a lie. I know this time it would be genuine. It's the going first to apologize that seems icky. Please help me find what's missing. I would say, Rebecca, don't take it as you're going first to apologize. You're going first to extend love. You're going first to have patience, to have compassion, to be kind instead of withholding and resentful and ashamed and regretful. No apology is necessary. No apology is necessary. You do not have to make an apology. Truly, if we're not holding a grudge in our heart, there's nothing to apologize for, really. So take that onus off it for yourself. Good one. I'm really glad you brought that up. So in the breakout, I'm going to invite you to talk about, and you can think about it now as I'm preparing the breakout rooms, is there any situation that gets triggered around the holidays? Old stuff that comes up for healing that you could do a preemptive forgiveness letter, forgiving yourself maybe for how you behaved in the past. You could forgive yourself for holding a grudge. You can forgive yourself for expecting things to go badly and then being secretly delighted that they did go badly and now your grudge is justified. I used to do all that stuff. So what's coming up with the holidays that you might have some fear around and some unresolved stuff? Taking a look at that in your breakout group, that and would you be willing to write a forgiveness letter about it? So contemplate that for a moment again. So what I love about this teaching about forgiveness is that it really is something we can get our minds around, that the unforgiveness is holding on to the meaning we made of it, our interpretation. We can decide to let that go, and then we can feel free again. So that's why it's called Forgive and Be Free. That our freedom depends on us. And it takes so much energy to hold on to things and to keep feeling resentful, to keep feeling confused, to keep feeling worried. And we can set ourselves free, but it does require our attention. It's not magical, but you really can put the Holy Spirit in charge of your willingness. You don't even have to work so hard to get the willingness. Be willing to let your higher self amplify your willingness because it's there in your spirit. So we have a few minutes left. I'd just like to see, did anybody have any ahas during the breakout? Any insights in the breakout? Okay, who's that? Bob and then Mary. You unmute yourself there, Bob.
Yes. There. It's kind of from something you said before about, I realized that I was saying in the breakout room to the other two that I need to forgive my younger son, which has been going on for over a year now. And I'm so excited about writing a letter tomorrow about it. I don't feel any trepidation. I feel, whoa, let's do this. And the thing is, the thing that I realized and I had said is that that's all good, but you got to find those triggers first. You know, it's not just about forgiving. You know, it's about finding the triggers. That's the main thing. And so I had so many triggers over this past year with him, I feel him falling away already. So I'm grateful.
Yay. Awesome. It's so exciting. It's so exciting because we can help. Here's one of the ways I look at it, Bob. I used to be so resentful and so angry and so judgmental. And how wonderful it would have been if the people around me could have done self-forgiveness letters, done the self-forgiveness work, and then been able to extend the love and compassion to me. I would have benefited so much if somebody could have taught me how to forgive myself. Because one of the reasons I got so mad all the time was because I felt like such a bad person. I was getting triggered all the time and reacting all the time. And I just made the decision, I'm a terrible, terrible person. And I had no idea how to forgive myself for that. And nobody ever discussed it with me. But if somebody had, it would have been huge. So by your doing that work, you set your son free.
Yes. Oh, I can't imagine the pain that he's gone through in this past year. And that alone should bring me there.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so wonderful when we see, oh, I can go first. I can do this. I can. And then the love
right.
in my life, in my heart. Yeah.
I was saying, why should I go first? He's the one that was wrong. Oh, my God. How crazy is that? In the light of A Course in Miracles, in the light of Christ. Jeez.
But that's how we all feel, Bob. You know, so that's why
I was crazy, though. I was crazy. I'm telling you, I was crazy over this. I can't tell you how much it ate.
Yes.
At everything. It just destroyed everything. And now I feel rejuvenated. Like, wow. Thank you. Thank you for this class.
Yeah. Thank you for your willingness.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I used to do the same thing, Bob. I really get it. Thank you. Mary.
Yeah, one quickly. As you told us about writing a forgiveness letter for the holidays, I thought, yes, every year I have the story with my sons who have decided they do not want to have anything to do with me because I said bad things about their father. I divorced him, 20 years ago, 15? And it still comes up, you know, over the holidays. So this year, I know I can do, I know what I did. I had this story, and it was like rock solid. And I believed it. And no matter how much I tried to forgive him and go move on and everybody, that story that he hurt me, he was horrible. That was like, I can't let that go. That is true, you know. And it is not true. And I am going to dissolve it. I'm going to write myself a forgiveness letter for holding on to that so hard and making it have all this meaning and separating my children from any love that they could experience from me just from that. So I am so grateful for that opportunity. I'm going to do one for myself. I'm going to do one for my to ask for my sons to forgive me, and I'm just so happy about that. It doesn't matter what happens. I just feel so much more free. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Your willingness is so powerful.
Yeah. It feels so good.
It does. Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for your help.
You inspired us all. You're welcome. You've inspired us all. Well, that's our time. But if anybody's bursting, would like to make a declaration or anything, last call here. All right. So Many of you are in Masterful Living this year, so we'll be together in the Undoing Unworthiness classes. And many of you have signed up for Masterful Living next year. Today's the last day for bonuses for those who are thinking of taking Masterful Living for the first time next year. And so you can get those Undoing Unworthiness classes now. And I am going to say a prayer and close us out, and encouraging you to truly commit to doing these forgiveness letters. There will be Forgiveness Friday on Friday. And don't forget the worthiness free class on Sunday. All right. I invite you to place your hand on your heart. And let's wholeheartedly declare our willingness to forgive the past, to forgive the decisions we've made in the past, to forgive ourselves for our interpretations and the meaning that we made of things in the past. We are willing to set ourselves free. So we're partnering up with that higher Holy Spirit self in order to accomplish it. We are willing to say yes to extending love and compassion, to extending kindness and caring. We are grateful and thankful that as we rise in love and compassion, the whole world rises with us. That our doing the self-forgiveness work brings benefit to everyone everywhere. We are blessing our loved ones, our family members, our co-workers, everybody in our world, and we are saying yes to setting ourselves free and sharing the benefits with everyone. A healing happening right now. In gratitude, we allow it to fully be realized, and so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thanks for all the great shares. See you soon.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. Love you all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, love you all.
Thank you.
Love that.
Yeah.